Galatians 4 is where we're going to really be centering, but turn to Galatians 4, find your place there, and also turn to James chapter 5. Now, what I like to do oftentimes is kind of tie in a little bit of what we've been going through in our study on Sundays and tie that into our Christmas season and sort of link it to a message we usually give over Christmas time. Now, we just completed the book of James last Sunday. We've been going through the book of Hosea on Wednesday nights. We finished that up as well and have started into Joel. Now, as we finished up last Sunday in James, we talked about the availability we have to come to the Lord in our sickness and struggles and to pray for help, to come to the Lord. Notice what it says there in James chapter 5, verse 15. Look over there with me here. James chapter 5, verse 15, and it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up." So if you're not feeling good, you're sick, you're going through struggles, you are having some difficult circumstances in your life, is anyone among you suffering in verse 13? Let him pray. Goes on in verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And so we talked about healing last Sunday. We spent some time even praying for one another. Now, there's one thing that we can usually struggle with over that, when we look at the Bible and we see the records of Jesus healing people, the apostles going on the book of Acts and healing people, James telling us to come and pray for one another, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. There's a struggle that we can sometimes have with that, and that is the fact that not everybody is healed all the time. Some might say, well, there was probably just a lack of faith, and it says in verse 15, if anyone, or the prayer of faith, will save them. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just a matter of faith then that is the reason why people are healed and some are and some aren't. But yet, I know great men of faith who have not been healed and have eventually lost their life to sickness. We see that even in the Word of God where there were great men of faith, people that were serving the Lord, being obedient to the Lord, and yet succumbed to sickness and were not healed, at least immediately, even though they were great servants of God. How do you reconcile this then? How do we reconcile that? Why do we see suffering, sickness, and pain so prevalent in our world today if God then is able to just come and heal or stop those things from happening? And as we just witnessed a couple days ago, once again, a horrible tragedy, the senseless murder of 20 children and 6 adults in an elementary school in Connecticut. Awful to see something like that happen. It's heart-wrenching to think of the loss of young lives like that. And many people are left with that one question then. Why? Why? Sadly, what happens so often in those kinds of situations is that people then begin to wonder how God could let that happen. Where was God in all of this? And grief often turns to anger and say, if there is a God, why do things like this happen? And I'm sure maybe you've witnessed that from your friends or loved ones who don't have a faith in God, and they see like this kind of stuff happen, they say, if there's truly a God, why does stuff like this happen then? But it's at this time of year that we remember that God sent his Son to this world so that he would be in fact with us. Look at what Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 to 23 says. We read that this morning already. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It's at this time of year that we remember the very fact that God came and has dwelt among us to be with us, to help us in all of our trials and circumstances. These things that happen in the life around us are not opportunities to say, where's God? It's an opportunity to say, I need God. You see, tragedy doesn't reveal the absence of God. It reveals our need for God. That's what tragedy does. It helps us to realize, not that there isn't a God, but that we need God so desperately. See, the problem is not with God. The problem is that we are living in a fallen, broken world. Not been God's design from the beginning. But we live in a corrupted world because of sin. You know, the the Connecticut governor, Dan Malloy, said in response to that awful massacre on Friday, said, evil visited this community today. And that's exactly what it is. It's not an opportunity to point the finger at God and say, where is God in all this? It's reason, reflect, and say, we live in a corrupt world. Evil visited that community today. That's exactly what it is. It's an evil work that's spurred on by the enemy of our soul, Satan. We are living in a world that is under a curse. Sin has entered the world back in the garden and at the beginning of human history. And the problem is that this world has never been the same since. That's why we see difficulty, sickness, pain, suffering, because of sin coming in the world. It's certainly not what God has intended it to be. And we today pay the price for that. We have to deal with sicknesses, with suffering, with sorrow. Those are the consequences of sin. And sadly, none of us are immune from it. None of us are exempt from that. None of us can put ourselves outside of that and say, well, that's for the bad people then that have to deal with those things. They're the sinners. Me, not so much. That's not the case. None of us are immune from it. None of us are immune from the consequences of this fallen world that sin has brought. But here's where our Christmas story ties this all together for us. You see, we need to understand that God is still at work. That God is still moving in all of these situations. Even in those situations or circumstances where he would seem silent or even absent from. And what he does and the timing for when he does, all that he does is always perfect. That's what I want to center on this morning here. The perfection of God. Look at Galatians 3. I know I said to turn to Galatians 4, but just go back one chapter to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to lead into chapter 4 here, but look at verse 3. And here's, I want to set up to you the scene that we are in the midst of here. Chapter 3, verse 10. It says, therefore, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. I'll put up there too if you don't have a Bible. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the situation here. We are under a curse, people. Sadly. This had been the case for thousands of years, and for many, it still rings true today that we are under a curse. Not a curse that God wants to punish us with, but here's the thing, it's a curse that God wants to deliver us from. This is not a curse that God is looking to punish you with. It's a curse that God wants to deliver you from today. If you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you are still bearing the weight of that curse in your life. Jesus has come to deliver you from that. You know, this time of year, we like to talk about peace and goodwill to men. And this certainly is a time when charity increases and generosity is given through even the most miserly. Is a time that, you know, people can just have their hearts warmed and they want to be those that are giving, caring, kind. You know, we tend to dream of a world the way that we feel it should be, a perfect world. This time of year, that's what we like to think about. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, what that would be like to live in a perfect world. You know, there was an article a few years ago in which a man gave his idea of a perfect world. He said, in a perfect world, you would feel as good at 60 as you did at 17, and you'd be as smart at 17 as you would be at 60. In a perfect world, mail would always be early and the check in the mail would always be for more than you expected it to be. In a perfect world, professional sports athletes would be complaining because school teachers were signing multi-million dollar contracts. In a perfect world, he said, potato chips would have calories, but if eaten with dip, the calories would be neutralized. That was his idea of a perfect world. And I ask, what would a perfect world look like to you? What would a perfect world be like for you? Just think about that. Imagine that here today. But you see, many are dealing in their lives with less than perfect things. Let's be real here. Many people, even right here today in this church, are dealing with less than perfect things, whether it be sicknesses, financial strains, relational problems, all of which get looked at with a much different perspective after Friday's tragedy, which reminds us all the more that we are living in an imperfect world. We are living in an imperfect world here. But all those things don't dispel the fact that God is perfect. None of those things change the very fact that God is still perfect. And he is still working out his perfect plan. Look at what we read further in Galatians in chapter 4. And here's where we're going to look at today. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. And that's what we're going to center on here today. It says there, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You know, you can go to a lot of places in the Bible and look at, you know, the Christmas narrative, but here's Paul's version of it here. Paul in the book of Galatians gives his view of Christmas. He says, it was there when the fullness of the time had come that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And in this passage, we see three perfect things as we are looking at our perfect God here today. We see three perfect things: perfect timing, the perfect gift, and the perfect purpose. Perfect timing, the perfect gift, and the perfect purpose. In all the difficulties in life we encounter, we have to understand that God is still at work. Whether we see it or not, whether it's tangible or not. And we have to understand that his timing for what he is accomplishing is always, anybody want to take a guess? It's always what? Great, you're listening. It's always perfect. God is on the move and God is at work. Even in the darkest of your days, God is at work. And what he is accomplishing in his perfect timing. Understand that. It's his timing, not your timing. You see, when we want things, you know, when we figure out what we want it done right away. We want to have it now, right? We desire healing for people, and we pray and believe in faith that God will heal them, but it's according to his timing too, which is always perfect. We see some great examples in the Old Testament of God's perfect timing. We see it in the life of Joseph. Remember Joseph, he was Jacob's favorite son. Jacob gives him that coat of many colors, that you know, kind of cherished item. And his brothers, Joseph's brothers, got very jealous of Joseph. And they decided they conspired against him. They decided, let's do away with him. Let's take his coat and we'll throw him in a pit and leave him for dead. And then somebody thought, hey, listen, why don't we sell him off? Let's make some money off this guy. Let's not just leave him for dead. Let's benefit from this guy. Let's sell him. And at just the right time, there was that Midianite traders that came passing by. And the brothers were able to sell Joseph as a slave to these people. At just the right time, God had set that all up. And at just the right time, Joseph arrived in Egypt. And at just the right time, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. At just the right time, Joseph rose to great power in Egypt. And at just the right time, the famine hit the rest of the world, where Joseph's family decided to go to Egypt looking for help. Where at just the right time, Joseph's brothers would come face to face with Joseph himself. And at just the right time, God eventually brought the family of Jacob there to Egypt, where they could grow as a new nation there in that protective place that Egypt would provide for them. We see it in the life of Moses. At just the right time, Moses was placed in a basket and left to float down the Nile River when the Pharaoh wanted to wipe out all the Hebrew boys. They sent him adrift in the river, but at just the right time, Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river to bathe. And they see this young boy crying in this basket, and they take him. Coincidence? No, it's all God's perfect timing. And at just the right time, Moses was brought into Pharaoh's household, where he could grow up under that protection as well. Be raised up to be a leader that God would use for the Hebrew people. And we see it in the life of Esther. Esther, a great story. And at just the right time, she was brought before the king. And at just the right time, she was able to speak to the king and uncover the plot of Haman, who was out to wipe out the Jewish people. And Esther was able to spare her people. Remember her uncle Mordecai saying, perhaps it's for this particular time that God has brought you here, for such a time as this. And it truly was. All of these things being ordered by God's perfect timing. You see, It is in those moments of history when things were looking bleak, when things were looking oh so bad and dark, that God was ordering all things to accomplish his purposes. There's a lot of things that we can face in our world today that can tend to send us shaking, unnerve us, stress us out. And we might think, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? And we need to sit back and realize God is in control. You know, this time of year right now, many people are wondering, you know, is 2012 going to be the end of it all? There's some people that said that's what's going to happen. And there are people that are stockpiling stuff right now. You can go online and find a lot of great, you know, kits and shelters that you can even buy so that you can weather the storm of the end of the year, or the end of the world, I should say. There are people that are being shaken instead of understanding that God is in control. I don't know if you've seen this before, but look at this here. I only had enough room to go up to 2012. Ha, that's going to freak somebody out someday. And it is. It sadly is freaking some people out today. Failing to see that God is in control. And God is working all things according to his perfect timing. And we see that with Jesus, don't we? The world had been going through some 400 years of silence before Jesus came onto the scene. They had not seen God speak to them. The prophets, the prophecies were quiet. It was a time, especially for Israel, that would have been very discouraging, wondering, is that it? Has God completely left us now? But you see, it was in that period of time that God was waiting that perfect timing. Time that God was preparing the most incredible gift to the world. You know, when you give a gift to someone, you want the timing to be just right, don't you? You want the setting to be just right, don't you? You men that propose to your wives, you've got that ring, and you're looking for that perfect moment to give that ring. You don't take her out to McDonald's and you're putting down a Big Mac, you know, you got sauce on your chicken, like, hey honey, what? I bought you something. Why don't you check it out? You know, we can maybe get married or something, you know, and here, pass me that Coke, you know. And McDonald's is not the right time to do it, you know. Or you're at a concert with your spouse, and you're thinking, maybe this would be a great time to propose, you know, and the band's playing and stuff, and you're like, will you marry me? And she's like, what? I got here. What'd you say? You like to carry bees? What is that? What? You know, those are not the right time to do something like that. You're waiting for the right setting because you got something precious here and you want everything to be perfect. So too, God was making everything right. See, this was the right time culturally now for Jesus to come onto the scene when he did. Alexander the Great had conquered the world with this, the Greek culture, Greek philosophy, the Greek language became the standard. It was the Greek language that was for the common people. It was the language that everyone could understand. It was a universal language, you see. It was the most descriptive, the most precise, and just the right language for the spread of the gospel. God was waiting for the perfect timing. And then after Alexander's death, and then the weakening of the Grecian Empire, the Romans came into power. At the time of Jesus' birth, Rome's greatest emperor, Caesar Augustus, was ruling. At this time, their dominion, the dominion of Rome, was at its greatest, making Caesar Augustus pretty much the ruler of the whole world. And it was at this time that Caesar Augustus decided to have a census taken for everyone in the world to be registered in the place that they were born. And so that caused Joseph and Mary, who were betrothed to be married, to have to go back to Joseph's birthplace there in Bethlehem. They had to take that trip from Nazareth at a time when Mary was very much pregnant, which wouldn't have been a very pleasant thing in their own minds. They wouldn't have been sitting there going, hey, why don't we have this baby in Bethlehem? That's where I was born, and I want to be having my child born there too. Let's go. And Mary would be going, no way. I'm not traveling. No way, you're putting me on a donkey and making me go down there to Bethlehem in this condition, right? It wouldn't have done it. But God raises up a man like Caesar Augustus to take a census that gets everybody moving. Now, why is that important, you see? Because it moved Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, where Jesus was brought into the world and clothed in humanity. And in so doing, it fulfilled a 750-year-old prophecy that out of Bethlehem would come the ruler of Israel. Micah 5:2 written 750 years before this, says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. A great prophecy declaring where Jesus, the Messiah, would be born. And you see, God was working everything out according to his perfect timing. In these oppressive and difficult situations, God was working. And again, it was the right time to come in the world, and the advancement of the Roman Empire and the roadways that they began to bring into the world, and the different things that they were able to bring, again, aided in the advancement of the gospel. God seen all this, just the perfect time, the perfect setting. You see, think about those 400 silent years where everybody's thinking, what is happening? Is this it now? God's left us? Are we abandoned? Are we doomed? God was working it all out. And it's the same in our lives, in the midst of our darkest days, in the midst of struggles and trials, and we're wondering, why is this happening, God? We have to look to him and understand, all I need to know is that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us, and you are working, and you're accomplishing everything according to your timing, Lord. Help me to be in line with what you're doing, and not trying to force you in line with what I want. And then we see not only the perfect timing, but that perfect gift. Because it says there that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, and born under the law there in Galatians 4:4. He came to us, Jesus came to us as fully God, but yet fully man. He came as one of us so that he would truly taste of our pain and our difficulty. He was born in a lowly manger, not in a costly, comfortable mansion. He later would say, I have no place to lay my head. You see, Jesus suffered under rejection, betrayal, unjust trials, and eventually suffering the most painful death. Death of the cross. He could have stopped it. He could have avoided it. But he came humbly as one of us to do for us what we needed the most. And that is to forgive us of our sins. You know, we've all, I'm sure, experienced hardship. But Jesus came and he tasted the very cup of complete death. He walked through this life in this humanity and he felt the pain that we feel. He went through the difficulties, the suffering that you and I go through. In fact, I would say that he went through far worse than what we would ever have to endure. He was the perfect gift because now he knows what we go through. And Hebrews tells us that now, since we have a great high priest who sympathizes with us in our weakness, you know, we can go to him boldly. He's not just Emmanuel, God with us. He's Emmanuel in the sense that he came and he experienced what this world gives. He experienced the very curse of this world. It says that he was born under the law. See, only Jesus could come and accomplish for us what was needed. Only Jesus could be that perfect gift for us. He was fully man, yet he was without sin. Only he could provide the price, the payment for our sin. We're going to get into that here and what that means, being born under the law. Look at this perfect purpose now. It says that he came to redeem those who were under the law in verse 5. Came to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. So again, let me remind you, why do we experience pain, suffering, sickness in this world? Is it a ruthless God who's looking to torment his people? No. We experience pain and suffering and sickness in this world because of sin. Because of the fall. We are in an imperfect, fallen world. Our sin results in the fact that we are born under the law. And here's the thing, the law demands a steep price for those who fail to keep it. It's the price of death, people. That's heavy today, I know that is, but bear with me here. The law demands a steep price for those who fail to keep it. The price is death. And God's desire all along was for us to be in a right relationship with us. That's why he created us, so we could enjoy intimate fellowship with him. We could walk with him, talk with him. But our sin separated us from God. And before God could bring us into that wonderful position of sonship that we see here in Galatians 4, the requirements of the law had to be met. The requirements of the law had to be met. So Paul records that Jesus was born of a woman, giving us again the picture that being completely God, he put on humanity. He didn't just appear, he was born of a woman. He put on humanity, and he was born under the law. He lived according to the law. He fulfilled it in his life, and he bore the curse of it in his death. Jesus was born under the law. He faced what the curse of the law brings, but he fulfilled it completely. He was sinless. He fulfilled it in his life, and he bore the curse of it in his death. He now paid the price for humanity. The law demanded. That's a price that we couldn't pay, people. See, God desires perfection in us, doesn't he? He's a perfect God. And he desires perfection in us. And he's given us that standard of perfection or goodness in the law. The very commandments of God. And here's the thing, that if we're trying to live by that law, you're going to quickly realize that you're going to fall short of it every time. What are you talking about? I don't murder. Never committed adultery. You know, I don't steal. What are you talking about? You're born false witness. Have you ever told a lie? Well, you know, maybe one or two. It means you've broken the law. And the Bible says that you've broken one part of it, you're guilty of it all. We have to understand our condition before God, that we today are guilty. We're guilty before God. We've all broken the law. Romans 3:23, for all the sin and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are exempt from that. And we today are under the curse of this world, of the law. We needed deliverance from that. And that's what Jesus came to do. That's what God did in his perfect timing, brought the perfect gift, and for that perfect purpose, to deliver us out from under the law. So that now we can stand before God, not in our righteousness, which if we're trying to live by our own righteousness, we'll fall short because we can't live up to that standard of God's goodness. But we stand in the righteousness that Christ has given us. We stand whole and complete in him now, today. That's why we need to turn from our sin, repent of our sin, which means simply to turn from it and to turn to God in trust of what Jesus did and accomplished for us at the cross. Knowing that this is not just, Christmas time is not just about Jesus coming to this world and the story of the manger. Oh, that's beautiful, wonderful, baby Jesus, that's great. He came with a purpose. He came to come and to die on a cross, to take the punishment we deserve, to take the judgment of God that we deserve for our sin, and to pay the requirements of the law, which is death, to do that in our place, that we could live through him. That's the perfect purpose. So the Bible says that he has redeemed us. To redeem means to pay the price, to set someone free, often associated with the slaves in the Roman Empire. A person could purchase a slave just for the intent of setting them free, and it meant that they were then redeemed. And as I've been saying, we were slaves to sin, people. We were slaves to sin. Not, and you might think and say, what are you talking about? I'm not a slave to sin. You know, if you've not given your life to God, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve something. And if it's not God, then you become a slave to sin. But here's the thing that we're seeing here in Galatians 4, that we've been redeemed through Jesus Christ. Everything has been accomplished in his perfect purpose. So that we no longer have to feel the darkness or depression of the world. You know, you may still have questions today, and that's okay. We're not going to know or figure out all of God's ways. He's so much higher than us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, Isaiah tells us. We're not going to understand everything about God. But we do know that he has covered our greatest need. What's our greatest need? To be forgiven of sin. Sin has brought corruption, has brought death ultimately. People may suffer physically in this life, but what we need to be concerned about is, have we taken care of our souls for eternity? Are we prepared to move on from this life and to move on to eternal life? Everybody's going to go on into eternal life. Every single one of us here. But there's two options for every person. It's heaven or it's hell. Now, I'd much rather have my life taken care of eternally than I would just temporarily here on this life. You see, I say that to say that God's done all he needs to do for me in my life. Suffering, pain, sickness that I might bear today doesn't negate the fact that God is still in control and at work. And if he chooses to have me go through that trial, then he's going to do a good work through it. The Bible says that all things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. We sang about that here today. All things work together for the good. I don't have to fear what this life brings because I know that I am safe for eternity because of myself putting my trust in Jesus, living for him today with him as my Lord and Savior. Today you need to have your sins forgiven. Today you need to be right with God. In our weakness or illness, pain and suffering, look to God's perfect timing, his perfect gift, and his perfect purpose. No one knows these difficulties more than Jesus, and no one can heal like he can heal, or comfort like he can comfort, and save like he can save. He is all that we need. And he's done all this already for us. He's given us the ultimate gift in salvation. He continues to work out his plan in our lives. And he'll accomplish all that he wants to do in finality in his perfect timing and in his perfect way. God is at work, people, so keep trusting him. He is perfect. And today I want to remind those that are here that if you've never heard the fact that our sin has kept us from God, understand that you are here today because of God's perfect timing, I believe. He's ordered your steps here. He wants to save you and bring you into that wonderful family of God as his sons and his daughters, as we saw here. You know, Paul talks about the adoption there in Galatians 4. And adoption that day had very great significance and weight to it. Because a person could be adopted and all of their past debts were wiped out. And they were brought in that new family with full rights in the new family. They weren't a lesser child. They were brought in with full rights to that family. And everything in their past was wiped clean. That's what God desires to do for you. We all have a bad record in our past because of sin. But God desires to wipe that clean and bring you into his family where the slate is wiped clean. To where you can stand before him one day and say, my trust is in Jesus. And I'm forgiven. And then we can have eternal life with him. That's what God desires to do. That's what that adoption speaks of. But for those of you that have never done that, a decision awaits you now. Whether you will turn to him, admitting your guilt of sin and receive his free gift of salvation, or whether you will keep making excuses, questioning the reality of God. The events of our world don't deny the existence of God. He is still in control, working all things together for his good. The events in our world only reveal our desperate need for God. Don't put it off any longer. Come to him today and receive his perfect love, perfect grace, and perfect salvation from sin. Would you pray with me here?